Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Match Ball.
Well, hello there. Here we are again on the Match Ball. Dan, Michael and Rob here with you to react to the Brentford 2-2. Levi Solicitors bring you the podcast, by the way, 10% off your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Similar sort of outcome at the end as last game. Palace feels like a lifetime ago after that again, doesn't it? It doesn't feel quite as euphoric, I don't think. Do you reckon?
No. I found, obviously I celebrated an awful lot.
Yeah.
But walking out the ground, I find it hard to be too happy with it because I feel like we've not played very well. Picked up a couple of injuries. It wasn't a great day.
I feel incredibly stressed.
Yeah.
Just sort of, yeah, full of adrenaline and not really knowing what's gone on and struggling to understand what happened, really.
Yeah. It didn't have the same, like I said, it was more anger, I think, when that one went in than towards the end. I've really, really hurt my shin. I did limbs and fell over some seats in the East Stand, and I've got a real proper raspberry on my leg. So if I'm grimacing, that's why. It's not because of your company, your sparkling company. But yeah, what I did like was the idea that Thomas Frank, could you have imagined him in the post-match if they'd won that and shithoused their way to a victory then, as they were clearly doing? So it's going to have tempered that. It's going to feel like a defeat to them. So if we can't be happy, as long as no one else is happy, then it's okay, isn't it?
It's all you can aim for some days, isn't it? I must admit, I had similar thoughts as well. And I really didn't want Canos to be happy either.
Yeah, that was a nice thought coming out of the ground. I was kind of looking towards the bench after we equalised, just as if he might be poking his head up. But yeah. Slim pickings.
It was very annoying, wasn't it? Did they out Wolves?
I don't know, maybe. Not quite, I don't think.
No?
They weren't quite as consistent with it as Wolves, I don't think. Coote should have just put their goalkeeper. Like the second time he did it would have been a really quick way of solving it, because it was mainly just the keeper. Every time he caught the ball, he just laid a little lay down with it.
A little lay down, and the dead balls, it'd be, I'll line it up for the short one, everybody comes in, and then I shoo you all out and kick it.
Or they'd have a free kick on the edge of Leeds' box and just pretend that they didn't know who was going to take it, which was a novel approach.
There was the throwing, on the right hand side, like in front of the East Stand, where they just all left it.
Yeah.
Like that thing about, oh, someone needs to take this today. Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, I quite admired that, actually. It's quite hard to know who to book as well as a referee, if no one's even near it. If everyone just turns. I'm not taking that free kick.
I find it incredibly dispiriting that we have to come in and talk about refs every time. We don't have to. We could just ignore it.
We don't really have to, I don't think.
But we know that Coote is one of the card-happy referees in the Premier League, and he just sapped a lot of the enjoyment from that for me today.
I thought he was doing all right to a point, and then at the sort of last half hour, he just kind of lost it and was booking a load of people.
Yeah. It was like every foul was a yellow card after like a certain point.
Yeah.
And then it was weird though, because he did certain like showy things. Like he was always chasing after the substitutes to get him off the pitch quickly, but then...
But never doing anything about it.
Yeah, just book someone and then you put an end to it, don't you?
He should have booked... Had Canos already been booked?
Yes,
I did wonder. So he could have booked Canos and then he got sent off instead of replaced as a substitute. That would have been fun.
That would have been fun. But,
So I mean, what was your reaction like then? Not a full time, but with the equaliser. I just did a lot of... Fuck up! Did I hire a chance? You know, like the usual ridiculous, childish behaviour.
It was that eventually, but there was a second, because I was at the other end of the ground, there was a second of, I don't know if that's gone in, if it's just over the line, if we're waiting for VAR or what. But then once Bamford whipped his top off, it was like, right, come on.
Did he get booked for that, by the way?
Yeah, he did.
Of course he did, 100 cards, Yeah, it was a nice moment, wasn't it? I'd mentally given up on that game. I thought, we don't get back into that. Just for whatever reason, I don't know, going into this game today, don't know whether it was the euphoria of the Palace game, but I just couldn't feel it today. Even though we were dead good in the first half and we were all over them, and I thought we should win this at a canter. I thought they were one of the weakest sides that had come to Elland Road up to that point. They looked like a freshly promoted side. But then, you know, we had one of our moments, didn't we? And it all collapsed.
It took a little time to get going, though. There was a We Are Love Leeds or a We Are Leeds at 20 minutes from the Kop. And that was a bit of a message because it was a bit of a quiet start. And it was like that kind of gave a message to the players. And that was where it was nice to have Luke Ayling back because he was the player who responded and put in a strong tackle and ran down the right. And then it just gave it all a bit of a lift, which is what was needed.
You're right. It did feel flat going into that. You could sense it. It had that. I don't know if it was because we'd gone into a more comfortable position towards, you know, the chance of mid-table was there, or whether it's just because it's Sunday, early afternoon. It's got a completely different feel to how it felt under the lights against Palace.
Yeah, I thought the crowd had mainly given up on that game, yeah. I have to say. And also, we've got a corner. We don't really do scoring from corners, do we? So I don't think it's not particularly a chance. Actually, the most fun bit of it was Melia going up for it. I think that's maybe when he would be believed a bit. It took ages as well.
He was asking for a long time.
Yeah, and everyone was just going, just go! Yeah. Just go!
But everyone's going, go on! And then when he went, everyone's like, go on! Another one of those little lift moments, wasn't it?
Yeah, it often does cause chaos, though, sending a goalkeeper up, just because there's all of a sudden a spare person. And it's like, okay, we need to, and obviously he's pretty much the tallest man in the box as well.
Well, you said this the other week, didn't you, actually, when you were talking about him going up for corners? Like,
I send
you
up for every one of them.
Yeah.
It was nice seeing him first go up on. And Forshaw stay on the halfway line, like, you're not going to score, Adam, you stay back.
it was a lovely moment. I did enjoy it, and I'm paying the price now because my leg's throbbing.
And Melier had already won his one-header during the game, hadn't he?
Yes.
He came for that ball, realised he was probably going to be out of the box if he used his hands, so I just went, oh, well.
I'm just looking at tweets coming in now, and this Victor Orta going a bit, should we say, Victor Orta-ish in the director's box. So I think Angus Kinnear is trying to calm him down. There's other people trying to restrain him, but there's definitely a kind of a shush motion like going on. I don't know if that's across the director's box or if it's to the away fans or what, but he's gone a bit crazy there, is Victor. Which good. I think is how we all felt, because there was just that quiet, simmering anger was building up at the way that they were falling over all the time and just going down, like you say, spoiling everything. But Tyler Roberts got his goal, didn't he? So let's go back and to the first half. And I agree with you, actually, Rob. It was pretty flat and it was probably in the balance until we got that goal. And it came out of nowhere, didn't it, really? It was a fairly even game up to that point, but I thought he took it well. And it was nice for him to get a song about him too.
Mm. Although the song of Last Christmas did seem to completely kill the game. That was sung. Everyone was like, oh, that's good.
It was
in the Kop. It got going for a bit. And then within about 30 seconds, Brentford had scored and the game was heading away from us. But it was good. We should actually say at this point as well, Moscow's not here because he has got COVID.
Yes.
And that's why he's not here to praise Tyler Roberts.
But he's all right, isn't he? But, you know, we don't want to be near him.
Exactly.
He's probably, and then, as well as the COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get well soon, Moscow. Hope you're all right. Where were we? We were
Tyler Roberts. Tyler Roberts. What made me think
yes,
of it.
Of course,
his biggest fan.
Although some of the stats websites have given him man of the match.
Is that fair enough?
I thought he was all right. Did anyone massively stand
for
out?
Sure. No. I thought Dallas was great.
Dallas was good.
There was a couple of little silky turns where he spun on the ball.
Yeah, there was a Maradona turn, wasn't there, coming out of...
I think they're calling it the Dallas turn now.
Right.
That's what they're...
Which was a very, like, Janssen move. That was the kind of thing that Janssen would usually do.
I don't really know what happened in that game, because I don't take notes. Have you taken any on your phone?
I took some.
Because I know we scored about half an hour in, then they scored and then scored again, and that was bad.
Essentially, it was nothing happened for a bit. Then we had control over it. We scored. Everything looked absolutely fine. They were starting to come back into it a bit. Calvin got injured. They bossed it from that point on.
Mm, we do miss him, don't we?
And we moved things around loads again.
Yeah, part of that slow start as well was Cooper getting injured and Click was about to come on, which I'd presume would have meant Calvin going into the back three, and then he changed that, so Harrison came on instead.
Let's go over that sub then. Let's concentrate on that one for a second.
I think it seemed to take the players 5 or 10 minutes to work out where everyone was playing.
Click was stripped as well, wasn't it? That's the first point to say. So it obviously had a late change of heart because... Was it solving two problems in one? Because I don't know if it was on that side, it was on Harrison's side, so their right, our left, that was maybe getting a bit of freedom down there. And he obviously wanted to, it was an attacking move to solve a defensive problem, wasn't it, really?
I was a bit surprised we didn't bring Creswell on. Because we had a centre-back on the bench, and it means you don't have to start moving every player around the place. And it did actually go perfectly well in the first place. But... I don't like the fact that we seem to always have to move every player a little bit.
It's a bit of a Bielsa thing, isn't it? That's probably like my one frustration with him is that why, when you could just make one change, you make like four different changes? Because James ended up going up front. Firpo ended up as like a left centre back or something.
Well, there was a point where James and Rafinha in the second half were playing on the same side, weren't they? When Rafinha kind of dropped a little bit deeper.
Rafinha kind of ended at right wing back, didn't he? It was really strange. But, you know, I guess we don't know what Bielsa's seen in that first 15 minutes to think, actually, Click's not the sub. We need to get Harrison on and move things around differently. But it was weird because once James went to kind of centre forward, although he was drifting out to the left, you do kind of think from that moment on, when's Bamford coming on? Because we need a centre forward.
Well, James was mainly drifting offside. Over and over again.
It was very frustrating, wasn't it?
Really was. So annoying.
Yeah. I mean, it's when they're playing on the shoulder of the last man and they kind of try and drift back, don't they? But the number of times when he got caught, because they were playing quite a high line. I did notice, actually, I think it was we were scoring, shooting that way first half, weren't we? Or were we?
Which was the cop first half.
Cop first half, right, yeah. So,
were you at this game?
I was, yeah. It's all just a blur, but because of the emotions at full time. No, it was in the first half, and I noticed that James was kind of sitting wide left, and then you had Rafinha wide right. Tyler Roberts had dropped really deep as well, so there was no like number nine in that space. Was that? I think that's what the cool kids call the false nine, isn't it?
And that's what the goal came from, I guess. Rafinha ended up drifting to the left and Roberts ran from deep or was in that centre forward area anyway. Yeah. And they're the kind of goals that you're just desperate for him to score more of as well. Not doing anything flash, but just being in there and getting a toe onto it and, yeah, just getting a goal.
And, that ball that they played into like the corridor of uncertainty, the Chapman corridor, as fans of a certain vintage will know it, just banging it in there. Like, I think we were trying where possible to not just aimlessly cross balls in. It seemed like people were trying to work angles and just either drop it in over the defender's shoulder or work it out wide and look for those low balls rather than pumping it in. Because you've got like, you know, Jansen back there and the other bloke from Land of the Giants, number four, whatever his name was.
Mm. Pinnock, was it? Oh, there were a couple actually. They had a couple of Giants at the back, didn't they? Yeah. I was pleased for Roberts. We felt like we've skimmed over him a little bit too much because we have at points question whether he'll ever score again.
Mm.
And he did.
And he did.
And well done to him.
And a goal from open play. That felt nice as well. That felt kind of different after lots of penalties and set pieces it's felt like recently.
Oh, Zach is in the comments on YouTube just saying that Dallas made a mistake for both goals conceded, lads.
Oh, did he? Brilliant.
Right, well,
other than that, though, he's great.
Actually, we have to say that is true. There were two errors in that, weren't there? Which was a bit... I'm trying to
remember the goal.
I can't remember the first.
Well, the one was they were trying to show it out by the touchline. Weren't trying to see it out. Didn't quite work. They picked it up, and then there was a cross. It was a speculative cross. There was a deflection off one of our defenders that just happened to fall to them, and there might have even been a second deflection on the way through, from what I could tell. But a bit frustrating, isn't it, when stuff like that happens. It just because it felt like they weren't in it up to that point. Because I think we'd had a chance just before that, and I thought, oh, if we scored this, we'd had a corner or something early in the second half. And I thought, if we get a second now, it kind of puts this one to bed. But. Mm. Funny how games swing like that, isn't it?
Still feels like a wasted opportunity, though, doesn't it, I think? With them particularly seeing that Tony was out and he's kind of their main man, it did feel like a game we've got to win today.
But would he have made that much of a difference, I thought?
Probably, yes.
I thought when we changed, do you think?
Well, he's their main striker. So.
Well, we didn't have Bamford.
That makes a difference to us. So, yeah. But, you know, I feel like Brentford maybe don't have the same, not that we've got a particularly deep squad, but Brentford don't have a massively...
Well,
deep squad,
Thomas
it?
Frank has been saying, I'm going to see out of my peripheral vision, then you're like some sort of eye roll or disapproving look. But I'm definitely not celebrating the point. But what I will celebrate is the performance. When you have the lowest budget, poor little Brentford, I'm not complaining. And you lose key players and it's hard and so on and so forth. But yeah, he was playing one up front, which did allow us to sort of play the 4-1-4-1, which we probably played into our hands slightly. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Calvin going off. Again, seemed to just throw everything up in the air for us. It didn't feel like we ever got a grip of it after Calvin went off.
Mm. Do you think we missed Cooper, or do you think they were all right at the back?
It seemed all right. The Cooper going off kind of coincided with us being quite dominant.
Mm.
So
distribution from the back improved, maybe. I mean, he's not bad at all, but I don't know if that had a bearing on it. I don't really know.
I mean,
you know?
After they went 2-1 up, we ended with a back three of Stuart Dallas, it seemed, with Llorente and Aylin. And then, Harrison and Rafinha as wing-backs.
There was times when Firpo was tucked in like on the left-hand side of the three, but then there were also times when he was playing like left wing. It's weird.
Yeah, I think when it works, you see it as being a beautiful, fluid, amazing, transitioning, ever-moving formation, whereas when it's not working, it just looks like we're trying things for 5 minutes and going, nope, that's not happening now. Right, Dallas, you play in midfield for a bit. Mm. Oh, no, that's not working. Go to left back. Go to right back. going net. It's just like it just feels like a constant rolling of the dice on it. But I don't know entirely what position everyone was playing in that game at the start or at the end. It felt like from the moment Cooper went off, things kept shifting around, and like then
4D chess.
Yeah, except it was not. Well, I don't know if 4D chess would be entertaining. Probably not. It was tough the second half.
Yeah, Rob's in the comments on YouTube saying it looks like Victor was having a right go at the Brentford directors.
Ah, oh, good.
Some characters in that Brentford.
Was he throwing any bottles at anyone?
No. Or coins.
Whatever.
Although he may have smashed his little telly in there, but you never know. But yeah, you know, when that second one went in, it's like, oh, I thought we've seen this movie before. Mm. And they started properly shithousing and wasting time.
It was very, I mean, when we played Brentford at Elland Road in the Championship, it was like that, though. I mean, there was the Nketiah game, which was tight when he came on and scored in his debut. But the year before, like Bielsa's first season, they came to Elland Road. I think it was Dean Smith was the manager, and Canos was a little wanker that game as well. Yeah. He headbutted Alioski.
Is it the one where Watkins dived for the penalty?
Yeah, and again, that it was exactly the same there, where Watkins dived for the penalty. I think it was Maupay who scored it, and rather than run to the away end, he ran and celebrated in front of the South Stand, and they had a load of stuff thrown at them. And I know we're not meant to condone it.
No.
But I remember the Maupay one, I remember thinking, good. And it was very much the same today, because it was right in front of us. And I don't mind the players giving a bit back to the fans, because I think that's part of the contract, isn't it? It's a bit of back and forth.
But was there not that moment though when Canos is celebrating there in front of the northeast corner, you thought we're this close to somebody losing their shit and going on there? I just thought, please don't.
A few of their players were a bit like, oh, this is maybe a bit much, and then they all sort of crowded around him. I don't even think it was a plastic cup, wasn't it, that hit him? But I don't even know if it hit him. But
I think
it
hit Mbeumo more than him. By the looks of
it. If you want to celebrate in front of the fans and you have a plastic cup thrown at you, pick it up and have a laugh with it, and then you've got the upper hand, haven't you? And you've won, and crack on.
I must admit, I'm something of a victim blamer when these situations come around. I end up thinking, well, that's what you're going to get, Canos.
Brought it on yourself.
Exactly. But in truth, you kind of have. I mean, because the thing is, if you're going to act like a dick in front of people and then someone does that, it's obviously it's the fault of the person who's thrown it. But
can I just ask? Let's imagine a scenario, there's no CCTV in the grounds.
You're suggesting, would I have thrown a snooker ball at his head?
In a sock. What would you have
done? I've got my darts in my pocket, just in case.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
What do you think of it then? Sort of that, I mean, by the way, I'd need to say, because people are already mentioning it in the comments, yes, my dad left when they went 2-1 up. So that was around, what was it, 61 minutes or something like that?
Oh, as early as that?
I can't even remember. I'm going to have a look.
He didn't hang on to the last 10 or anything.
No. It was, let's have a look. When was the goal? It was 61 minutes, that they scored the second, and he went.
Checks out. Well, fair enough.
He's missed another injury time goal.
Did he? He would have left before the Wolves equaliser as well.
Yeah, so he's missed Wolves, Palace.
So he's not seen any goals this season, more or less.
Pretty much no.
He's seen Liverpool score alone.
just gone.
Wow.
It doesn't make sense to me, but you know, he was saying at one point. I think there's a certain amount of falling out of love with the game. You know, like about how VAR is and the refs and all that, and Because it is a vastly different game from when, I mean, you're the youngest of the three of us, when from when you were a kid, Rob, or you, Michael, who's in between, and then there's me, and then, you know, I think back to what my dad's seen, like, the Reavy side and stuff, and it's just it's a completely different sport, isn't it?
It is incredibly frustrating. And again, this is what going to Elland Road has kind of felt like under Bielsa, in that teams just come to waste time. And it was like that in the Championship, and even in the Premier League, it's pretty much like that. Like, Leicester Wolves have always done it. And it's just really annoying, isn't it?
Well, because they tread that line of cheating just to wind the clock down, which has happened for years and years, but it's easier to do that now. Like you said, when you saw like what's his face, Cody did, you know, with the head injury, ball hit him in the head, go down, stay down.
Luke Ayling did do that today, which I liked.
I didn't notice that, Rob. I thought whatever he did, it was good.
Did we get an Ayling flop today? I don't think we did.
I don't know if we did.
No, that was as close as we got, I think.
That might be a first.
His first ever lead.
Might be the first time I've ever seen him play without a flop. Out of practice, isn't he, I suppose?
What did you make of his performance? Because he was a little bit slack. When things started to fall apart a little bit at the back, he started misplacing a couple of passes and putting us under pressure. And I thought, oh, no, because I thought he had a good game up to that point.
I thought he did all right. He pulls out of defence quite well, doesn't he, Ayling? That's the thing. When sometimes we look a bit static at the back and no one's really moving it forward, he does just pick it up and start running sometimes, which I think is important. Like, Llorente does it as well for us sometimes, so... I thought he did all right.
He was good at playing between the lines as well, because that's when our football, I think, succeeds, when you see, like, Forshaw, like we said before, about what Forshaw's brought to the team by dropping in and giving people angles to work it out of defence. I thought Ayling did that, like, putting balls in behind their attackers to the fullbacks sometimes. You know, because sometimes we kind of go side to side, don't we, across the back, down, back, across, and it's just trying to get those angles through the channels. I thought he was quite good at that.
He was very unlucky not to score as well. It was the save from his header at 1-0, which would have made a massive difference.
When was that?
That was just after half time, wasn't it?
It was a corner from, was it a corner from the...
It was a set piece.
Front of the cheese work. It was.
That might have been when I thought, if we score now, that'd be good. But yeah, I've just lost track. It's just gone into a blur. I think that the end of the Palace game has kind of rolled into today to a certain extent.
It was a different atmosphere today. I thought it was very, very flat.
That's what we were just saying.
There was no moment in this where they went 2-1 up, or even when they equalised, where everyone went, no, we're not having this.
Yeah,
let's get behind him, sort of thing.
Some sort of smaller moments of that when the crowd really sensed it and gave him a bit of a lift, but there was no sustained, like, there was like that We Are the Champions of Europe that kicked off just to try and get things going, but there was no sustained, like, wall of noise like we've seen. I agree with that.
Yeah, like Wolves and Palace, it felt like the momentum was there from the crowd, whereas today it was just a little bit subdued.
I don't know if we're all just emotionally exhausted from how this season's going, and also, like, we've spoke about it recently, but just the way we veer from one thing to another. You go to Elland Road and you don't know what to expect, really. Like, you're in the, you get to your seat and you think, you know, I hope it's going to be great, but I really don't know.
Right, yeah, Zach's asking. I mean, Zach is on a right old negative wave in the YouTube comments about all the things that went wrong today. Says, can we talk about Click? Not good at all. Was he? I didn't really notice his performance.
I didn't think it was very good.
Is it his passing that's off, or what? Because his positional play seems all right and his running and stuff. I don't know.
He seems crowded out a lot. Which, to an extent, you have to start thinking eventually it's probably his fault in some way, because he just seems to never have any space on the ball. He seems to get himself caught in little tight spaces.
It feels like there's a real, like, zip to his game that's just gone recently, like in his passing, in his pressing, in his tackling, and everything he does. He's kind of just half a second slower, it seems now, and it seems to have made a massive difference, whereas previously he would get it and you know, his passes would be crisp and he might beat a player, he'd have a good shot, whereas all that's just kind of gone now.
Do you think it's because we're playing at a higher level, though? Because undoubtedly the Premier League is better in whatever way you want to kind of define it. It's a tougher league to play in, isn't it?
But he looked so good at the start of last season. That was the weird thing. Like when we came into the Premier League and he looked exactly like the same Click that we'd had in the Championship, and then he dropped out of form, and he still had games later in the season. I think Newcastle at the end of last season he was good in, and he had moments, but he's never, besides the first few months of the last season, he's not really been doing it now.
Is it because people have worked out how we play, and a lot of teams sit really, really deep on us, and that's the sort of area he likes to operate in, isn't it, right on the edge of the box?
I wouldn't say so, because when other people play there, it often works better.
Or maybe he's just peaked and he's on the downslope now, because he's the wrong side of 30.
I think his status in the squad as things stand is probably where he's at, which is just, he's a bench player now, isn't he? He's not a starting central midfielder, and I'd like to think he could still contribute as a squad player, but he is a squad player now.
That's the good thing about Forshaw, what you're talking about, working out of tight spaces there, actually. It's one thing Forshaw, I think, does do really, really well, being able to just find a man when under pressure or turn in the right direction to bring it out of trouble, because there were times when you thought, don't get caught there, and he didn't. Not once, I don't think.
Yeah. No, I don't know what's wrong with Click, but it's not worked for a long time now, which is a shame because I really like him.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? There's so much like sentiment attached to this squad, or the legacy players, if you like.
But yeah, I guess it's more weight to the argument that we probably need a central midfielder as another option, because whenever he's come on, it's not really worked, has it? And we need Stuart Dallas for every other position.
Yeah. Gary's just asking in the comments, are we putting forward a theory that like we're better if my dad's not watching? I don't necessarily think we were. I thought he watched the first half and we were good. Well, after the goal anyway.
Yeah, true.
But maybe, I don't know. Maybe he's a jinx. We've all had moments where we thought we're a jinx, haven't we? But yeah, I mean, what about Rafinha today then? He's just some saucy moments, weren't
some there? Really good moments, and then some kind of frustrating things where he was trying to force balls through spaces that weren't there, and
he seemed to be trying a bit too hard at the end of the game to make it all happen himself, just trying really ambitious passes,
that shot as well, and
yeah, like a lunatic.
Which,
I don't know, you've got to try things, aren't you, to make something happen. So it didn't come off for him today, but yeah, and yeah, making him play a little bit deeper towards the end, which is kind of what Pablo used to do, isn't it? But given Rafinha's strength is being quick and direct and taking players on, it just felt a bit like
he was really pissed off today as well. He put a ball on top of the West Stand at one point because there was, I think the ref had called it back because I think someone was down with a pretend head injury or something, and he just picked the ball up and twatted it out of the stadium.
He's a very angry man,
which
I thought
pretty much summed up the way his afternoon was going. Just a straightforward fuck off, just have that.
Were you still there for like the lap of applause at the end? Do you see that? What do you think? They looked happy or relieved, or what was the general vibe, or was neutral somewhere in the middle?
There's just some weirdly like confusing pitch invasions going on. There was a bloke went on, got Bamford's shirt, which he gave to him, which I thought, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure if that's necessarily a good thing to encourage people to come on.
Which then followed by somebody else.
Followed by someone else. Then the steward seemed to let the bloke go, although he'll probably get, you know,
stadium ban on a shirt. Yin and yang.
Yeah. Maybe sent in another lockdown. He's thought, it'll all be over soon. Yeah, and then someone else ran on the pitch in the corner and just did a little lap.
A pirouette?
And ran back on. It ran back off, and it's just like, it's very strange. I don't know, it didn't feel like the players were out there for all that long today. I didn't think it was not quite, I guess because it's a draw and not a win. They weren't trying to milk it too much.
I didn't hang around, to be fair. So.
I'm just looking at the league table. Like, you know, Norwich have taken another pump in today. Bottom three all on 10 points. Burnley have got that game in hand, but we're now 6 points clear of all that nonsense.
Yeah.
It feels like a nice buffer to go into this next set of games with, doesn't it?
The win would have been so much better, though, wouldn't it?
We'd
have been properly mid-table.
But as you were sort of saying in the run-up to this, like when we were predicting what would happen this week and we were trying to come up with points totals for this set of three games, you were sort of hovering around the 4 to 5, weren't you? So got the 5. I mean, 5 points out of 9 is a good return. It's just when you look at the next few games that are coming up where you think, ooh.
Yeah, and Brentford at home is one that when you're chalking up where your points are coming from, you do definitely put a 3 next to it. Even if you're a pessimist, you're like, well, if we're going to stay up, you need 3 points from Brentford at home.
Little alert theory from JC Gaming, who's in the comments here on YouTube, saying about the soft underbelly, it's still there no matter how well we're playing. It seems so easy to get out as and score. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I thought we shot ourselves in the foot today. Do you think we've got a soft underbelly, or do you think it's just the way like the Premier League is, where you can't do big pile driving challenges anymore? Like you saw, who was the knobhead who got booked for them, would have been in the first half over by the West Stand for going through Roberts, and it wasn't a particularly bad tackle, but he took Roberts' legs, like he was out of control. Mm. Was it their number 4?
Yeah, I know the one you mean. Yeah, I thought it looked like quite a good tackle, to be honest.
It was a good tackle, but he took the man, and these days you can't do that, especially not when Headmaster Coote's there.
I just don't feel like it's a Premier League thing. I feel like we're still not in form. Is the problem? We're not, are we?
Do you not think we're about where we should be in terms of like sort of a middling Premier League side?
Probably so, but we've not yet hit the heights that we did last season.
And a lot of mid-table teams don't really look great consistently, do they? They have patches and they pick up points here and there.
But we are now into that crowded mid-table, aren't we? Where there is a 6-point gap to the relegation zone, but then we're 4 points away from Brighton, who are ninth and who are having a dead good season apparently. So we're nearer to the middle than the bottom, aren't we? Is the thing? It's just something about being 14th, 15th just feels a little bit precarious. Mm.
I don't know if the soft underbelly thing is just a consequence of kind of how we play as well, because we want to make games open and attack teams, and you know, even our defenders like Llorente does mad stuff, and as a consequence we will concede chances, I think. And also today, like, we lost the spine of our team. Cooper went off after 15 minutes. Phillips came off in the second half. Bamford was on the bench, so he didn't come on until the last 20 minutes. Like, if we do have a soft underbelly, it's because they're not there, I guess.
Yeah, that does make sense. And we saw in that second half, there were a few occasions where we'd be applying pressure as we were because they were sitting deeper and deeper, but then they'd break and you thought, please don't be 3-on-2, please don't be 3-on-2. Mm. A couple of hairy moments where you were like panicking. That is just the nature of getting stretched, isn't it?
The last 20 minutes, we have a back three of Stuart, that includes Stuart Dallas, so it's not going to be the most watertight defence, is it?
And the other side of that is, you know, at 1-0 up, do we want to be in Elland Road watching a side that's then trying to shut it down early in the second half? Or do we want to watch a side that's trying to go for it and get a second?
Yeah, it's fair enough. Yeah.
Which would you rather watch?
I'd rather watch us get the second goal, but actually get it and then be better.
We got the second goal. What's wrong with you?
We did. I was glad for Bamford. It was a nice moment. Because he had a bit of a frustrating time, I thought, actually, when he came on.
He barely touched the ball, did he?
No, he was running around a lot trying to get involved and it was never quite getting to him. And when it did, it didn't particularly stick. He just kind of got tackled or it went out of play.
Or he was stretching easily. Or whatever. And
it was never quite there for him. So it was a completely well-deserved equaliser.
But you take him, don't you, at the end of the day? You know, we've said 1 point per game will probably be enough. As long as we pick up points here and there, we'll be all right. I mean, I don't come away from that game today feeling worried. I mean, like, you're the barometer for this.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried.
Well, we should be. You should be because we're 14th and 6 points away from relegation. But the sides, you know, beneath us, we're looking at 1, 2, 3, 6 sides that are beneath us, none of which are in good form.
No, that is true.
We just need to be in slightly better form than them.
Bloody hell, Everton are down there. What are they doing down there? I know it probably is fine. We are firmly in the kind of the mid-table group, aren't we? If you look at the teams around us, it is like Palace, Villa, Brentford. That's, you know.
We've actually only lost 5 out of 15 games. We're just drawing too many, that's all. But you can stay up by drawing in this league as long as you pick up the odd win here and there.
I think the worry this season is that I feel like we've had winnable home games like the Wolves game and today. It just makes things so much more comfortable if we'd actually picked up wins in those.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully we'll pick something up across the next couple of games. There's no, you know, we won't go into them with any expectations, but maybe for once, you know, that plays to our advantage. We've got to play all these teams twice. So, you know, if we get anything out of these, then good.
Yeah. I mean, Liverpool and Man City, I am kind of writing off, to be honest. But Arsenal at home.
It's gettable. Something is gettable from that game, isn't it?
Yeah.
So all you need is just to keep nudging those points on the board.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you look at Villa at home and Burnley at home. You know, towards the back end of the month and start of January, and again, can get points out of that. And you know, we always, as I said loads of times before, we always see Leeds in isolation, but there are loads of other teams around us, and they can't all win, so we'll be fine.
Results in the last few weeks down the bottom have really been awful for all the teams down there.
Like the teams at the bottom have bad results.
I know Newcastle did win yesterday, but only against Burnley, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, and I kind of like Burnley being down there because I feel like their owners might panic and sack Dyche at some point, and then
has he not just signed a new contract?
Yeah, but they'll still panic and sack him if it looks like they're going down, and no one else will do any better than Dyche there because it's a squad that only he could love.
Right, have we forgotten anything obvious then before we sign the show off from that game?
Probably.
You'll be sure to tell us anyway.
We'll come back to it on Tuesday.
Check your emails if you're a TSB Plus subscriber as well, and you can find the link to the feedback and send us feedback on this, so we'll come in and we'll do propaganda.
At least we don't have to listen to smug Brentford.
Well, that's it. And Thomas Frank, you know, like, there was
they'll
a point
still be smug.
My mate who was watching it on the telly was watching it, and he said, like, Thomas Frank was chewing his gum with his mouth open, you know how he does in that way. No. Not acceptable. What do you think of Thomas Frank, Michael?
I think he's probably having a lovely time sniffing the benches at Elland Road.
Excellent. On which note, we will we'll sign off. Thank you for watching this one and listening as well. It's on YouTube. It is on the podcast app of your choice as well. And we'll catch up with you. So we've got propaganda on. We're no midweek games this week, have we?
Unless someone tells me otherwise, I don't think we have.
Let me just double check the calendar before we go, because that would be bad. No, nothing. It's Manchester City a week on Tuesday, and that's away. But it's 8 o'clock. That feels late.
We're not have Chelsea first.
Probably, yes. Yeah. But I meant the next midweek game is 2 weeks, not this upcoming week. And then we're into that whole Christmas period and stuff. So yeah, we'll catch you on the other side of this one. Propaganda, main weekly show on the way, Tuesday, Wednesday time-ish. And we'll see you in a bit.
The Match Ball.
Hold up.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.